Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. I'm really excited about this call for a couple of reasons. Number one, this takes me a lot of time. And so when you put as much time as I put into reading those notes and analyzing them, it's wonderful to be able to share them with others and have them be used. So I'm really glad you're on the call. I'm really excited to share with you what I spent all that time doing. And the second reason I'm really excited about this call is that new tool which Ricky mentioned. That is something which we haven't done before, out of an abundance of caution, not wanting to share anything that would harm our relationships with members of Congress. But now we feel like it's something we can share, and I think it could be really useful and really fun for you to use as you prepare for your next meeting. So I'm excited to talk about that. So the agenda for tonight's call, first of all, we're going to talk about how this work was done, a little bit of the methodology. I'll go over the top issues and responses, assessing engagement, all the topics tracked, that interpretation thereof, and a new tool. And those middle three, top issues and responses, assessing engagement, all topics tracked, that is in the two-page handout which we shared with Congress at our November Education Day, and that is also in the materials which Ricky sent out and which are now available on CCL Community. So getting started, how was this work done? Well, there were three main phases of the work. The first stage was centralization and simplification of the notes. So what was involved in that? What that involved was Tony Cerna does great work for CCL. And what he did is he took all of the notes which you filed from Salesforce. He put them into a spreadsheet which I had prepared. And that just made my life very, very easy compared to the first year when I did this. Then I had my interns. This year it was Marcy Kim and Hyacinth Parker. Thank you to them for reading through so many notes. And they went through all of those 502 meeting reports, which Tony put in that spreadsheet. And they took out things that I wasn't interested in, things that are very important to you and your group. So that's why they're in there. But for me, the kind of analysis I'm doing is not super important. So what would that be? Who's in the meeting? They took that out and they put it in another column. Descriptions of the room, that's not super important to me. Where the staffer you're meeting with went to college or any personal details, that is very important to you and your relationship, but it's just not important to me. So I have them take it out so I don't have to waste time reading through that. The second stage is careful reading, category determination, and counting. So this is the part where I actually read all the notes. So I read all 502 sets of notes. Category determination is figuring out what is useful for me to track. So when I first did this analysis in 2014, there were 20 topics which I tracked. In 2015, I tracked, I believe it was 36 topics. And this year I tracked 47 topics. And these are topics like what Ricky mentioned, the Climate Solutions Caucus, like the border issue, like the dividend. So figuring out what is going to be useful, some of the things that I'm thinking about are, can I even define this? And if I define it, is it going to be specific enough to be useful? So if I were to track just the word tax, that's probably not going to be that useful because we're all going in there talking about carbon taxes. So that is not something that I would track. But if I'm tracking mentions of tax as a problem word, where we don't want to pass a tax, then that could be something very useful to track. And that is in fact something which I did track. All the definitions of the topics that I tracked this year are in a document, I believe, that Ricky sent it out with the notes. It is available on Community as well. So if you want to dig into what the specific definition to all these categories, what specific definitions are, that's the document that you should look at. So this is still part of that second phase of figuring out what I'm going to track. And then, of course, there's counting. Counting all of these notes, all of these mentions. And another thing to be aware of is when I'm counting, I'm not just counting 1, 2, 3. I'm also counting the context in which it came up. And so I tracked 5 contexts. The first context is a concern. Does the member of Congress or the staffer say, I'm concerned about what China is going to be doing if we pass this? Are they asking a question? What would China's response be if we were to pass this border adjustment? Are they suggesting that we focus on this? You know, you really should figure out what you're going to do on the border adjustment before you go any further with this. Are they just expressing interest? I'm interested in the way you approached the border adjustment. Or is this 5, which is something else? And most often, 5 would be a statement of fact. And so the most frequent 5 ranking would be, you know, the Clean Power Plan is our focus. That is a statement of fact. It is happening, and that would be 5. Anything else that it might not be clear from the notes, that would also be category 5. So that's the end of 2. Once I've read all the notes, counted them, then I do the analysis. And so I wanted to give you, now that I've described it, I wanted to give you a sense of what this looks like to me. So this is the first sheet. This is the spreadsheet that Tony dumped all those notes into. This is what Hyacinth and Marcy were reading. And as you can see, I have, you know, the district, I have the member of Congress name, their first name, what party they're from, how many the meetings that we had, what committees they're on, and then there's also notes. I didn't show you the notes because that is confidential, but that's what I'm looking at. And then here, this is where I'm counting. So I've circled some things up here. In the upper left-hand corner, you can see tier 1, 2, or 3 and active, passive, jaded. This is where I'm assessing the tone of the meeting. How are our volunteers interacting with the staff? And then you can see I've marked 1. That's a Democratic office. I only count Democrats in that active, passive, jaded scale, only Republicans with the tiers. So you can see at this section of the notes, we had 1 passive Democrat, we had 2 tier 1 Republicans, and we had 1 tier 3 Republican. So for Republicans, tier 1 showing clear interest, they're asking good questions. Tier 2 is it's unclear. And tier 3 is actively hostile. So I circled that 3. We know that that office was displaying some hostility to our volunteers. And then you have all the different topics, which I've determined, all 47 of them. And I highlighted there's a 2. So in that case, that office, that Republican office, was asking a question about the impacts of our policy on low-income households. So that was tracked as a 2. And then I also circled that a 1 down there. So this office that was a 3, so they were hostile to our volunteers, they were asking, they had a concern about pollution and health. And one of the interesting things I noted was when an office brought up pollution and health, and just based on the fact that they were a 3, that was also probably a skeptic office. I found that offices that displayed some sort of climate skepticism were more likely than your average Republican to also bring up the issue of pollution or health, which I thought was interesting. Slide. So that's what it looks like. That's kind of how I did it. But there are some reasons to be cautious about this. Number 1, the meetings varied in contents and duration. It's not like we were going in there asking the same question. That would make for a bad relationship. People generally don't tend to be friends with people who call them up asking them survey questions, and we want to be friends. We want to be on close terms with our members of Congress. So for our goal, for our organization, it would not make sense to go down a list of questions. But the downside of that is that you do have meetings which are varied in their content. We had meetings as short as 5 minutes. We had meetings as long as, I think, an hour. So there's a lot that you can cover in an hour that you can't cover in 5 minutes. The quality of notes was variable. We have some people who are just amazing at taking notes. The Alaskans, in particular, I think that they had some 2-3 pages full of notes, which is amazing. Kudos to Alaska. But then you have some notes which are really just a sentence, maybe 2, and there's not much I can get out of that. But in general, the quality of notes has been going up year to year, so that is encouraging. Another thing that's important, it's only me. I'm one person. I am flawed. There's no review of this. So that is a flaw. It's a problem. But it is what it is due to the sensitivity of these notes. It's what we're left with. And then another thing, while I do have a PhD, my PhD is not in reading meeting notes from members of Congress. It is in the diatoms in the ocean, trace metals, and how that affects their export products from the photoxome. So those are the limits of this study, and you should bear those in mind. So now, what is in this study? So this is a screenshot at the beginning of the resource, the two-page resource, which is available on Community. This has three sections, and I'll go over those three sections. This has already been shared with 350 members of Congress. So it's also been shared with the media. So if you were worried about sharing this with other people, don't worry about it. This is public. So you can take this resource and share it with your friends, your family, your members of Congress, people you want to get endorsements from, that's fine. Another thing to bear in mind when you bring this to people, no one else has anything remotely close to this. No other organization has anything like this. And even if they do have something like this, they are certainly not sharing it with members of Congress. So when you bring this to your member of Congress, unless they've met with you before, they've never seen anything like this. And that immediately makes you look really good. We are bringing them something unique. No other organization meets with 502 offices in a day. And even if they did, they are certainly not having some poor sucker read through all 502 meeting reports and figure out what people said and what context they said it. So this is a unique data source. When you bring this to people, you can feel good about emphasizing how unique this is and just how great CCL is because we have this. So now let's take a closer look at those three sections. So this is the first section, and what I'm highlighting here is just these are the top four issues brought up by Republicans and by Democrats. So going across the top there, I'll just define CPP is Clean Power Plan, dividends is of course dividends, CSC is Climate Solutions Caucus. Border is really three issues that tend to come together. So mentions of China or India, questions about how the border adjustment would actually work, or concerns about the WTO. Those really very often came together, and they were brought up in the same context. So I made a decision 3 years ago to group those as one issue, that's the border. And then low income, that's low income households. So that's what it is. We have the top four issues for Republicans. That's Clean Power Plan, dividend, and then a tie between Climate Solutions Caucus and border. And then the top four issues for Democratic offices, number one was Climate Solutions Caucus, number two was the dividend, and number three was low-income households. So even though it's the top four for each party, those didn't line up exactly. That's why you have five issues right there. And then on the resource, immediately below this, I provide a 1 to 2 sentence response, which you can use to each of these issues. Since those are the most frequently brought up issues, I frame this in the way of CCL being responsive to Congress's concerns. So remember, this debuted at our November Education Day. This is what we were sharing with folks in November. And in the context of that November Education Day, and being cognizant of the fact that nobody has anything like this and Congress has never seen anything like this before, I frame this as these are the top issues that you are bringing up for us, and we are being responsive. We're trying to address your concerns. Here's our top level response to this question, this concern, this focus, and that's what this is. And again, these are designed for you to basically say verbatim. So for example, the Clean Power Plan, that's less relevant now than it was when before the election. So I'll read the dividend one. Dividend was most often a question. They were asking about the administration of the dividend. So you could say, offices were typically asking questions about dividend administration. CCL has a study on this from a retired economist from the U.S. Treasury, and we will be happy to share his findings with you. So if you say that, then you're set up right there to send a follow-up email to that staffer you're meeting with, include the FAQ and the one-pager from the dividend delivery study, which is also available on Community. So that's the way this was designed And then if we look at the next set of responses, these are all focused on the border issue. And so remember that the border is really three topics. And again, these are designed for you to just be able to read pretty much verbatim. So WTO, our language preserves both national treatment and most favored treatment in the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, or the GATT Treaty. Additionally, Article 20, paragraphs B and G of the GATT allow discriminatory border adjustments for environmental purposes. Whenever somebody brings up the WTO, and I have said those words, it's done. They accept it, they move on. When you can say Article 20, paragraphs B and G of the GATT, you very clearly know what you're talking about and you've done your research. And that is, again, geared precisely to the concern which comes up most frequently in these meeting notes. And, you know, at this point, after 4 years, I think I've read close to 2,000 meeting notes. So I have a pretty good idea of what comes up. So that's an example. The last one on this table is low income. Slide. Yep. And so here, you can read the response if you want, but what I want to highlight is that this is the first time low income has made it into this top table. And I just want to highlight that this came up more for Republicans than it did for Democrats. And I think that flies in the face of what a lot of people would assume. But nonetheless, there it is. And this is another really important aspect of doing this kind of analysis, is you can surprises come up. And I think that the response enables you to, again, provide them with a resource, in this case, the household impact study, district or state-specific results. So that is the end for this section. I wanted to, before I move into the next sections, I wanted to see if anybody had some questions, since I've covered a lot already.
Yeah, Danny, why don't you catch your breath for just a second. If you guys have a question for Danny, you can either type it in the chat window, or you can unmute yourself by clicking on the little microphone icon that's on your screen. If you do unmute, just tell us your name and where you're joining from, and go ahead and ask your question for Danny.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Did you make a distinction between issues that were brought up by the MLC or the staffer and those who were brought up by the CCL person? Because I know the caucus was frequently brought up by us and not by the congressman, who may not have even been familiar with it.
I did. That's a great question, Kathy. And I did make a distinction. I never wrote it down if it was brought up by a CCL or alone. I only counted mentions where members of Congress or their staffers brought it up. So you brought up the caucus, and that's a great example, because you're right. It was pretty much always CCLers who were bringing up the caucus. And the reason it was the number one issue was because when CCLers brought it up, then the office would say, oh, that's very interesting. Or who is in charge of that? So the way I think of it is, CCLers would make that opening bid. They would talk about the caucus. But when there was a substantive response from the office and they expressed interest most often, or they had a question, or they expressed a concern, only then would I track it. There were instances where CCLers brought it up and the office did not pick up on it. And that is not reflected at all in any of the numbers. It's only all the numbers you see are specific mentions by the staffer or the member of Congress on that topic. Great question.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyone else with a question? Just unmute. You can star 6 if you're on the phone, or click the microphone symbol next to your or on your screen.
Hey, Danny, this is Tom Oates from Minneapolis area.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, was there any mention of anybody with the perspective that Mr. Trump might be an asset to passing carbon fee and dividend, because then Republicans could own it lock, stock, and barrel and not feel uncomfortable sending an I told you so climate bill to a member of the other party?
Yeah, this was from June. And so current President-elect Trump did not come up. So this was from the June notes. When I get to reading the November notes, I'm sure that will come up more. I have not heard, so that sentiment did not come up in these notes. It was not pertinent at the time.
All right. Sorry, Tom, I had to mute your line. We're getting a little bit of noise in the background, but thanks for the question. We've got time for one more question for right now. Again, star six your phone or click the microphone symbol on your screen to unmute.
Rod here in Australia, I've got a quick question.
Yeah.
On the issue of border adjustments, and I think it's great that we can talk about the GATT agreement and World Trade Organization's stuff, but when it comes to free trade agreements, were there questions about that and concerns about free trade agreements not allowing border adjustments?
Yeah, that has come up. Most frequently, it came up in the context of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And to be honest, most often it came up from our volunteers, not from members of Congress or their staff. That was a bit more pertinent to within the United States politics a bit earlier, before June. But it did, since we're going in there, we're talking about carbon fee and dividend. To be honest, that didn't really come up that much. But since our volunteers brought it up so much, we did look into it, and we found no reason to think that the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or any other free trade agreement, because they're all under the GATT, they're all within the GATT framework, they all have to be compliant with the GATT. So as long as we preserve national treatment, as long as we preserve most favored nation treatment, and we should be okay. And again, we have those paragraphs B and G of Article 20, which do allow exemptions. So any free trade agreement would be subject to those. And there was nothing in the TPP that led us to believe that it would prevent a border adjustment as we propose in carbon fee and dividend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Appreciate that. All right, Danny, if you want to, just we'll go ahead and pick up from here, and we'll have another Q&A section for folks at the end.
Yep. Sure. So now we're going to get on to this second graph, and I think that this is probably the most exciting graph there and the most exciting result. What you're seeing here is you're seeing the tiers broken out over the past 3 years. So this is, now that I've been doing this for 3 years, we get into some really exciting stuff where you can do this four-dimensional through time comparison. And so this is the year. You have the year there. You have the total number of meetings we have. And then you have the total number of Tier 1 rankings, the total number of Tier 2 rankings, the total number of Tier 3 rankings. NR is no ranking. So if the notes weren't complete enough for me to assign a ranking, a determination of how engaged the office was with our volunteers, I did not force it. So if the notes weren't complete enough, I didn't provide a ranking. And then that last column, this is where it gets exciting. So remember that Tier 1 offices, those are the offices that are showing clear and genuine interest. They're asking questions, and they're asking for resources. They wanna learn. And Tier 3, those are the hostile offices. It's very clear that they are asking gotcha questions, or they just can't wait for us to get out of the office. And so the way I've set this up, comparing Tier 1, the good offices, to Tier 3, the offices who are hostile, the higher the number, the higher the ratio, the more Tier 1 offices were meeting compared to Tier 3 offices. And so what you can see here is the number climbs from 3, which is still pretty good, 3-1, 3 Tier 1 office for 1 Tier 3 office in 2014, to 6.1-1 in 2015, and in 2016, 10.1-1. So we're having 10 offices who are showing clear and genuine interest in what we have to say for every one office who is hostile. And that's just fantastic. I think the biggest takeaway there, those are definitely not offices who are ready to sign up to carbon fee and dividends, but those are offices who know that our volunteers are coming in there with appreciation and respect. There are people who they can have a good conversation with, and they're people who they're going to be happy to see again next time they see them. And I mean, to me, that is just a huge validation of the CCL methodology. I think that it's right there in the numbers, and I think it's great. And you don't want to read too much into these numbers, because this is my opinion on somebody else's notes about how the meeting went and whether people are basically whether people are able to have a good, honest conversation and open exchange of ideas. And you know, that is subjective, but also it is a strength that over 3 years it has been the same person reading the notes, using the same definitions, and that you have seen that go up. And I think if all you're concluding is that our methodology works, appreciation and respect is a good way to go, I think that that's a safe interpretation given the limitations of the data set, and I still think it's very exciting. So this table, I think, is very exciting, even with those caveats, and that's something that in November, I think that members of Congress found one of the things they found the most interesting. The last table that I have, these are all the topics that I tracked that came up in at least 5% of the meetings. To fit it onto two pages, I had to draw a cutoff, and I figured 5% is pretty good. So there are 20 topics here. Came up in 24 or more meetings. That was 5% of the meetings we met with. And then you can see what percentage of Congress that is and whether that came up as a concern, a question, a suggested focus, an interest, or other. So that's neat. But at this point, I'm really anxious to get to the new tool, which is available on Community. And Ricky did a great job of putting this up fairly quickly and linking it to other resources. So this is what the page on Community looks like. And what you have here is you basically have what I was just talking about, those percentages, those top 20 issues. And you can see how many issues we covered in 2014, 2015, 2016. So that's a reflection of me getting better. But now that this is on Community, you can just go down and Ricky, if you flip to the next slide, please. You can see for the top there, you have the Climate Solutions Caucus, how that came up in 32% of all meetings. And you can see the dividend, that came up in 22% of all meetings. That's one in five. That's one in five meetings where the dividend is coming up in some form. And then what Ricky has done is he has linked to, these are live links, all the references, all the resources we have available on CCL Community or on our main site that would enable you to answer that question. So you can click, you expand the dividend section, you say, all right, that's one out of five offices, I'm gonna study up on this. You can click on the dividend delivery study, and that'll bring you to the page in Community where you can download the summary, you can download the FAQ, which is really just a summary of the full report. You can go directly to those two resources. You can go to the webinar we did on CCU about that. You can go to the administrative cost laser talk, or you can go to the 100% revenue neutrality laser talk. So what we're doing here is we're basically enabling you to save yourself a lot of time. You can study up on the topics which we know come up the most, and then with the click of a button, you can go to any CCL resource which relates to that. And like I said, I'm just really excited to get this to you. And let's say you really want to drill down to your member of Congress. Well, you can also see the full table that I created in which all this data is housed. So here's a link to that, a screenshot of that table. It's very information dense. And so let me talk through this a little bit. So in the leftmost column, you have all those issues, the Climate Solutions Caucus, the dividends, CPP, Clean Power Plan, low income. And then you have that percentage, which is on the Community site. So 32 for the CSC, 22% for the dividend. But then I have it broken down by party. What percentage of Republicans brought up each of these issues? What percentage of Democrats brought up each of these issues? I have it broken down by chamber. So what percentage the Climate Solutions Caucus came up in the House? 39% of all offices in the House thought this was interesting, responded when CCL members brought it up. And the Senate, only 4% brought up in the Senate. That makes sense because it is a House caucus. And then you have the committees of jurisdiction, potential jurisdiction. So W plus M, that's Ways and Means. EC, that's Energy and Commerce. There you have the Senate. And then FIN, FIN, that's Finance Committee. EPW is Environment and Public Works. And ENR is Energy and Natural Resources. So how might you use this? Well, you might pull this up and you might say, well, I know that my member of Congress, my senator, is a Democrat, and they're on the Finance Committee. So then you could look overall, Congress, what percentage each of these topics came up. You could look at Democrats, and you can notice, wow, Democrats were really interested in the Climate Solutions Caucus. I better update myself on who the membership is. And then dividend was also really interesting. But they didn't really care about consumer costs. So I don't have to study that. And then if you look at the Finance Committee, you can see the number one issue there was the Clean Power Plan. Oh, I better look at the resources on the Clean Power Plan. So I hope what I'm expressing here is this is a tool where you can really zero in on your member of Congress and study what they're most likely to be concerned about. And I should explain the color coding. The color coding is just redder colors have a higher percentage, bluer colors have a lower percentage. So like I mentioned, that first one, the Climate Solutions Caucus, that has the reddest red, 40% of Democrats brought it up in the House, or 40% of Democrats brought it up, and in the Senate, it only came up 4% of times. So that 4% is blue. Democrats, that's very red. So that's how to read that color map. Another thing that's great about this tool is you see all 47 topics. So you're not just seeing the 20 that broke that 5% threshold. You can see all 47. If you look in there, there are also listed the CCL resource where one exists to address that topic. So if you really want to get into the weeds, this is the resource for you. That's how you use it. Going to slide. Again, this is the first time CCL has shared this level of data. It can basically be a cliff notes for your meeting. So you're studying what is most likely to come up. You're most prepared. And we really hope that this tool makes your preparation more complete, more useful, more specific, and it saves you time, both finding the resources and knowing what resources are available. So that's the update. Again, we have some time for questions.
Yep. So, hey, Danny, real quick, I think what I'll do as well is just demonstrate people where they can find this real quick.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll do that real quick. So if you guys will hang tight. Let me move all this screen share notification boxes out of my way. And let's go to CCL community real quick. And since we're redesigning community, this probably won't be looking like this too much longer. But anyways, oh, look at that beautiful picture of Danny. Isn't that nice? Wow. all right. So just on community, if you go to this hasn't been slotted yet. I apologize. But if you just go down what's new on community, you can click on the meeting topic. I haven't actually placed it. I just finished it this afternoon. And as Danny said, you just scroll down. You can click on any of the questions, and they'll expand and show you the resources that are available.
Ricky, we're still seeing questions. We're still seeing the slides. We're not seeing you zooming around the internet.
Oh, okay. Hang on 1 second. Sorry about that. Oh, I shared. Let's do that. Boom. And let me share. Desktop, that'll be better. Now can you see?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry, I was just from the home page. I'll go back. I'll click on home here. You can see that beautiful picture of Danny there. What's new on community section has it listed here, this lobby meetings topics toolkit. And then when you click on that, it takes you to the page. And you can see there's all the, as Danny said, the questions or the concerns or the topics. And if you just click on any one of them, they expand with the resources available to address those. Maybe there's some charts and graphs. But it should be all in here for you, different webinars and everything. So should make your preparation a lot easier. All right, so why don't we go ahead, Danny, and go to questions. We got a couple in the chat, so I will just relay those to you. Peter Joseph says, Danny, I agree with your caveats. His notes are highly observer dependent and subject to optimism or a pessimism bias. Regardless, how do you interpret findings as they relate to likelihood that the member of Congress will actually publicly support or vote for a carbon tax?
Yeah, Peter, thanks for the question. That is in the ABCD climate, carbon fee and dividend rating. That was provided for every member of Congress, but that, because it is fairly privileged information with the benefit of knowledge that volunteers gain in their confidential meetings with members of Congress, that is not anywhere in the report because we made the judgment call that was too confidential. So we do have that, but that is something that we keep confidential to our volunteers because it does have that. It is made with the benefit of that privileged information. So that is not publicly available.
All right. Tom asks, what says, thanks for the detail. And I guess the question is there any list of analysis of those Republican House members of Congress that have voted or other types of public support? So as like co-sponsoring the Gibson Resolution, a member of the Climate Solution Caucus, voting to fund EPA in July or something similar?
There is. It's not. Those votes exist. There are about 98, I think, Republicans who took some sort of pro-climate vote last year in the House. And there are 7 votes. FCNL, the Friends Committee on National Legislation, they pulled that together. We haven't put that up on community, but that does exist, and I can maybe find some place to put that up. But there were 7 appropriate votes as part of the appropriations process, in which some really surprising Republicans in the House took some pro climate votes. So not on community, but it does exist.
And I think Tom, one of the things we're trying to do is get more and more of that kind of information into the congressional biographies for folks, especially as June and the spring lobby drive approaches. So hopefully that kind of information will be automatically on your biographies for your member of Congress here pretty soon. Some of that information already is. Brian asks, when will we get a summary of the November lobby day? Danny, come on. What are you waiting?
Yeah,
you're such a slacker.
We haven't done actually ever a summary of the November lobby day that we've pushed out, and why. The reasons are I have done the work, and the reason we haven't made it public is because we're starting with the June analysis. That heavily biases what comes up in the November notes. And so I think, whereas we don't do that with June. So one, the data set is in a certain sense compromised. You're leading members of Congress. They tend to bring up those top 4 issues more. And then the other thing is, the start of the year has always been so full with other things which are important. There hasn't been an event where it made sense to bring that forward. So I still plan on reading the November notes. I think that's too much. It's too valuable an information source not to incorporate somehow into guiding CCL strategy. But I don't know that that will go out because I'm not sure how useful it would be because there are fewer meetings. It's certainly not as impressive as the June analysis. That's the answer. Unclear, if ever.
Carolyn asks, how many members of Congress do we still need to make contact with, for example, that are not in any tier yet? I guess we can say we know there's 38 new members of Congress. I don't know if we've made contact with them, but outside of that, Danny, do you know, is there a percentage of members of Congress or number that we haven't made any contact with yet or haven't assigned a tier?
Amy Bennett is actually the best person to answer that question. There are very, very few. There are really very few. So 502 meetings, there are only 541. So in last year, there were only 39 people we didn't get to. And some of those, for sure, we did get to a different part of the year. I think there were one or two vacancies because a member of Congress died. So, I mean, we're talking, I would say, under 30 members of Congress last year who we didn't get to at all.
Amy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
535 this June. We're going to get there this June.
All right. Peter asked if I'll slowly navigate to this page. And Peter, I'll tell you what, it's not linked yet, but let me show you where it will be linked. So from the homepage, if you're on the homepage, what you would do is you would go to volunteer resources, click on that. And this is going to be a lobbying resource. And so I would click here on the left-hand side under lobbying resources. And it'll be somewhere over here in this lobbying resources section. We're not quite sure. And like I said, we're in the process of redesigning community right now anyways to make things a lot easier. So don't tell anybody, though, because it's not supposed to be out there. All right, let's see. So, it's Peter, what I would just say, if you want to find it tonight, it is linked from the homepage. So if I go back to the homepage, scroll down just a little bit to under what's new on community. We always put anything new that we create on community is in this section. And you can see it's right here. It says Lobby Meetings Topics Toolkit right from the homepage. So, all right. It's got another question. Let's see. Wouldn't the election of Trump qualify as such an event to be worth releasing the November analysis?
No, because we are really a congressionally focused organization. And we really are not well suited to dealing with the administrative branch. And I don't see how releasing information on what members of Congress are thinking is going to relate to the executive branch. So I do not think, furthermore, I think that there's a lot of panic about Trump, and I'm not going to comment on whether that's justified, but what I will say is I think that we're forgetting that we're in a really, really good place with Congress. When you compare this Congress to and where we're at to 2 years ago, 2 years ago there was no Gibson resolution, there was no Climate Solutions Caucus, and now we have 10 members of the who are on the Gibson resolution coming back. We have someone who's ready to submit it again, and we're going full steam ahead with the Climate Solutions Caucus. So, because this is very congressionally focused, I do not see it Trump's election as a good reason to justify the release of doing this. Another thing is we. You may not know this, but there's actually a lot of it's a pretty narrow opening that CCL provides in terms of the information we provide to all of our CCL volunteers. We try to make as much information as possible available on community, but we really do try and narrow how much information we send to our volunteers. We only want to send the information which is going to be most relevant and most useful to them without overloading them. So there's I would say competition among the staff to figure out what does make it into the communications we do provide. So to me, just the fact that we have a Republican president instead of a Democratic president, I do not think that justifies releasing this.
And just real quick, also, Danny, for those, Dr. Joseph and others, when you get to this page that we're talking, this there's the link right at the top here to this the meeting, the spreadsheet that Danny's actually referring to. If you click on it, and here's that, god-awful, I'm just kidding, 47
beautiful topics. What are you talking about?
It is beautiful. Only the person who created this would say it was beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. but this has got all the, as Danny talked about, all the correlating laser talks or different types of resources that might be available that might address the topic as well in column L. So it's a lot of good information, and it's right. It's available right from that page that we were discussing earlier. And then Daniel was referring to the handouts. You should have gotten those in the email when you registered for this class. But if you didn't, you just go to the volunteer resources page under lobbying resources. And I knew that's already available. And you scroll down, and it's this first one, review the June 2016 meeting analysis. You can click on that. And those are the two handouts that Danny was referring to that we dropped off at the congressional offices in November. So let's see. Got another thing? Oh, no, just a thanks. Thanks. All right. So if there aren't any other questions, we can wrap up this evening. I want to thank Danny for being here with us tonight. And again, we got a couple other questions. Hang on. Let's see. Up here, Alex just wants to share that it's getting easier to talk to people about climate change in Montana, ranchers and farmers. And then Dr. Joseph asked, Danny, could you discuss CCL's plans going forward this year? Has anything changed in strategy, or are we full steam ahead? Everyone else seems panicked.
Yeah. It's full steam ahead. Like I said, I think that we're in a really good position. I mean, when I compare, again, comparing Congress 2 years ago to where we are now, we're in a really good place. And another thing that I look at is I think a lot of groups were focused on the Clean Power Plan, and if regulation, if going through the administration was how you were going to get, that was your bet, and you had just totally written off working with Republicans, I can see how you would be panicked. But of course, CCL was never in that position. We had never written off working with Republicans. We were founded by a Republican. And so that was never our orientation. But because so many people were of that orientation, I think that that's where a lot of the media has been. I think that's where a lot of other environmental organizations are. And because CCL took what was really a very, it was pretty bold to bet so completely on working with Republicans and to work to never give up on a legislative solution, to believe that you could get 17 members on the Gibson resolution, including two Freedom Caucus members, to believe that you could get 10 Democrats and 10 Republicans to sit down at the same table in the Climate Solutions Caucus. All of those things, those other organizations who were betting on the administrative branch and going through regulations, they at some point or another would have told me, and some did, that that was impossible and that we were wasting our time. And so we're in a great position.